Heaven. Chapter 7. A Heavenly Atmosphere. The Christian's summer, quoted in the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary 7, 988, trials cannot be recalled. We tried to call up our greatest trials, but they looked so small compared with the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that surrounded us that we could not speak them out, and we all cried out, "Alleluia! Heaven is cheap enough," and we touched our golden harps and made heaven's arches ring. Spiritual Gifts 2, 34, 35. A Happy Family. The nations of the saved will know no other law than the law of heaven. All will be a happy, united family, clothed with the garments of praise and thanksgiving. Over the scene, the morning stars will sing together, and the sons of God will shout for joy, while God and Christ will unite in proclaiming, "There shall be no more sin, neither shall there be any more death." Prophets and Kings, 732, 733. Realization greater than expectation. Christ accepted humanity and lived on this earth a pure, sanctified life. For this reason, he has received the appointment of judge. He who occupies the position of judge is God manifest in the flesh. What a joy it will be to recognize in him our teacher and redeemer, bearing still the marks of the crucifixion, from which shine beams of glory, giving additional value to the crowns which the redeemed receive from his hands, the very hands outstretched in blessing over his disciples as he ascended. The very voice which said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world," bids his ransomed ones welcome to his presence. The very one who gave his precious life for them, who by his grace moved their hearts to repentance, who awakened them to their need of repentance, receives them now into his joy. Oh, how they love him! The realization of their hope is infinitely greater than their expectation. Their joy is complete, and they take their glittering crowns and cast them at their Redeemer's feet. Quoted in Councils on Stewardship, 349. God has not revealed all. The Lord has made every provision for our happiness in the future life, but he has made no revelations regarding these plans, and we are not to speculate concerning them. Neither are we to measure the conditions of the future life by the conditions of this life. Matters of vital importance have been plainly revealed in the Word of God. These subjects are worthy of our deepest thought, but we are not to search into matters on which God has been silent. Some have put forth the speculation that the redeemed will not have gray hair. Other foolish suppositions have been put forward, as though these were matters of importance. May God help his people to think rationally. When questions arise upon which we are uncertain, we should ask, "What saith the Scripture?" MS 28, 1904, quoted in Selected Messages 1, 173. Jesus will explain. Long have we waited for our Savior's return, but nonetheless sure is the promise. Soon we shall be in our promised home. There Jesus will lead us beside the living stream flowing from the throne of God, and will explain to us the dark providences through which he led us in order to perfect our characters. There we shall see on every hand the beautiful trees of paradise, in the midst of them the tree of life. There we shall behold with undimmed vision the beauties of Eden restored. There we shall cast at the feet of our Redeemer the crowns that he has placed on our heads, and, touching our golden harps, we shall offer praise and thanksgiving to him that sitteth on the throne. Quoted in Councils on Stewardship, 349, 350. Full of joy. Heaven is full of joy. It resounds with the praises of him who made so wonderful a sacrifice for the redemption of the human race. Should not the church on earth be full of praise? Should not Christians publish throughout the world the joy of serving Christ? Those who in heaven join with the angelic choir in their anthem of praise must learn on earth the song of heaven, the keynote of which is thanksgiving. Jesus will receive you, all polluted as you are, and will wash you in his blood and cleanse you from all pollution and make you fit for the society of heavenly angels in a pure, harmonious heaven. There is no jar, no discord there. All is health, happiness, and joy. No pain. There, pain cannot exist in the atmosphere of heaven. There will be no more tears, no funeral trains, no badges of mourning. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, for the former things are passed away. The inhabitant shall not say, "I am sick." The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Revelation 21, verse 4. Isaiah 33, verse 24.
Holiness reigns supreme. In heaven, God is all in all. There, holiness reigns supreme. There is nothing to mar the perfect harmony with God. If we are indeed journeying thither, the Spirit of heaven will dwell in our hearts here. But if we find no pleasure now in the contemplation of heavenly things, if we have no interest in seeking the knowledge of God, no delight in beholding the character of Christ, if holiness has no attractions for us, then we may be sure that our hope of heaven is vain. Perfect conformity to the will of God is the high aim to be constantly before the Christian. He will love to talk of God, of Jesus, of the home of bliss and purity which Christ has prepared for them that love him. The contemplation of these themes, when the soul feasts upon the blessed assurances of God, the apostle represents as tasting the powers of the world to come. The Bible Echo, September 1st, 1889, quoted in My Life Today, 293. Perfect order. God is a God of order. Everything connected with heaven is in perfect order. Subjection and thorough discipline mark the movements of the angelic host. Success can only attend order and harmonious action. God requires order and system in his work now no less than in the days of Israel. All who are working for him are to labor intelligently, not in a careless, haphazard manner. He would have his work done with faith and exactness, that he may place the seal of his approval upon it. Full equality. The selfish principles exercised on the earth are not the principles which will prevail in heaven. All men stand on an equality in heaven. Quoted in Counsels on Stewardship, 133. Rest is promised. God designs that all shall be workers. The toiling beast of burden answers the purpose of its creation better than does the indolent man. God is a constant worker. The angels are workers. They are ministers of God to the children of men. Those who look forward to a heaven of inactivity will be disappointed, for the economy of heaven provides no place for the gratification of indolence. But to the weary and heavy laden, rest is promised. It is the faithful servant who will be welcomed from his labors to the joy of his Lord. He will lay off his armor with rejoicing and will forget the noise of battle in the glorious rest prepared for those who conquer through the cross of Calvary. Spirit of unselfish love reigns. In his sinless state, man held joyful communion with him in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2. Verse 3. But after his sin, he could no longer find joy in holiness, and he sought to hide from the presence of God. Such is still the condition of the unrenewed heart. It is not in harmony with God, and finds no joy in communion with him. The sinner could not be happy in God's presence. He would shrink from the companionship of holy beings. Could he be permitted to enter heaven, it would have no joy for him. The spirit of unselfish love that reigns there, every heart responding to the heart of infinite love, would touch no answering chord in his soul. His thoughts, his interests, his motives would be alien to those that actuate the sinless dwellers there. He would be a discordant note in the melody of heaven. Heaven would be to him a place of torture. He would long to be hidden from him who is its light and the center of its joy. It is no arbitrary decree on the part of God that excludes the wicked from heaven. They are shut out by their own unfitness for its companionship. The glory of God would be to them a consuming fire. They would welcome destruction that they might be hidden from the face of him who died to redeem them. Social life. There we shall know, even as also we are known. There the loves and sympathies that God has planted in the soul will find truest and sweetest exercise. The pure communion with holy beings, the harmonious social life with the blessed angels and with the faithful ones of all ages, the sacred fellowship that binds together the whole family in heaven and earth, all are among the experiences of the hereafter. 306, quoted in The Adventist Home, 548-549.